Welcome to Universal Talk. Today we have another special teleconference for our listeners. On today's show, we ponder the question, what would happen if we took four individuals with a higher awareness and brought them together to discuss honoring the goddess? Let's present the case. First, we must consider that the world we live in and everything around us is made up of energy. If this is the case, then can there be differences in various energies? What if, in this dualistic world that we lived in, there were two main streams of energy? What if one was considered male while the other was considered female? What if, by allowing and welcoming the new energies into our lives and honoring those who carry such energies, life would become more balanced and therefore more loving and peaceful? Let's welcome our panel of guests on the show to discuss this very thing. Ramona von Eyre, Alfred Weber, and Laura Eisenhower. Welcome to Universal Talk.
Hi there.
Thank you.
Alfred, you with us?
I'm right here, and I'm in receptivity mode.
Okay. Okay. So, of course, I'd like to take a minute to start off by wishing Laura a happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Laura.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
And and since you're on the hot seat, Laura, we're going to start by talking with you, since we're talking about honoring the goddess, and it is your birthday. But before we do, how about we go do a guided meditation to connect everyone on this panel and the many people listening now and in the future to culminate one another's energies to raise in this global unity consciousness. Rama, would you like to do the guided meditation?
Sure. And we're looking at something of approximate duration of 5 minutes or something like that?
Whatever it takes.
Okay. All right. So the first thing I would like everyone to do is I'd love for you to deeply relax your whole body, physically feel your body, tune into it. Feel your muscles, feel your bones, feel your feet. Please become fully aware of your body. The topic for today is the goddess, and your body represents the goddess energies. For reasons I'll explain more later. So the first step to honoring the goddess is to honor your own body. So please deeply feel and relax every muscle from your head down to your feet. And please notice your breathing pattern. Feel your breath as it flows. You don't have to look at it or think about it. Physically feel your breathing apparatus if you want. Everything I say is optional, by the way. Please do whatever you like and don't do whatever you don't. Whatever you don't want to do, it's entirely up to you. So you're feeling your body, you're feeling your breath. I would love for you to just deeply feel your whole body all at once and take a moment to thank her for everything that she does for you every day. You know, some of you very conscientiously take care of your bodies, and some of you may just sort of assume that she's just going to do her thing on her own, but all of us can really take a moment to thank her for what she does while we're busy enjoying the world around us, or we're busy working during our day, or whatever we're doing. She's doing all these things that you stay alive. She runs all these daily life-sustaining operations for you. She's breathing for you. The blood is flowing. All your internal organs are digesting food, or at least if you're not eating food, they're just processing things out of the body, bringing in good stuff from the higher planes and from the world around you. Your body is constantly doing things on your behalf. Just take a moment to thank her for all that she does for you incessantly. Even while you're sleeping, she's doing things on your behalf. And the more you conscientiously thank your body and love her, and whether you're a boy or a girl, I do consider the body to be feminine and the goddess, so I maintain calling the body a girl, even if you are a girl. You know, let's take a moment to thank our body. Thank her for everything she does for us. And the more you do that, the more you'll realize just how much she does for you all the time. And, you know, and just like you have friends, you know, if your friend does so many things for you and gives you all kinds of free food and a place to stay and someone to talk to and whatnot and so forth, you know, it's always nice to give back. So let's take a moment to give back to our bodies. Thank her. Give. What can you give her? You can give her your feeling awareness, your feeling perception of her, and you can send her loving vibrations as well. But just to merge with her, that's what she really likes. Compared to the physical plane, we are all, as light beings, more male energy entering the physical plane, which is more female. Obviously, if you're a girl, you have more of the female ray in you, but all of us are relatively more male as light coming into the body. But when you merge with the body, you obviously become the girl too. I'm not suggesting that we're all more male. I'm suggesting that if you think of yourself as a light being, depending on where you place your awareness, this determines what I'm talking about. If you're thinking of yourself, oh, I'm a light being inhabiting a body, then you're coming for a more true male light perspective, true male energy, which is not what you see usually. If you think of yourself as the body, you're coming from more of a female perspective. If you think of yourself as both, a being of light integrating with the physical flesh, then you are, in fact, in union with yourself. Your light, true male energy, is in sexual union with your physical feminine component, your physical body. And so please feel the light of your brain flowing down as a sort of true male energy, whether you're a boy or a girl, the light of your brain as a true male energy flowing down, all the way down to your legs and feet, from your brain, all the way down to your legs and feet, and literally inseminating your own blood, the feminine goddess energy, merging with it, integrating with it, being in sexual union with it. So your true male light from above, flowing down and being in union with, sexual union with, your physical feminine component of the blood and the physical organs. Please feel that for a few moments. As prime creator, we are both male and female. And the topic of today is about honoring the goddess, so there's going to be an enormous focus on the physical flesh and the body and the material form and the beauty that she brings. Without the goddess, we would all be invisible. The true male light is an idea, it's a plan, it's a set of concepts and light encodings. Without the goddess to embody us, we have nothing. There's no show without the goddess. Obviously, there's no show without the God force, too, but we're honoring the goddess today, so I'm going to emphasize the girl. Without the goddess, we don't have anything. There's no form. There's no container. There's no visible manifestation of creation. So we can thank the goddess for literally everything that we have. Without her, there is no physical plane. There is no body to inhabit. So much of what you have is because of the goddess. And you are the goddess, too. Whether you're a boy or a girl, you are the goddess as well, because you are both. And when you focus on your physical body a lot, and you focus on beauty and the physical form of creation, and the surface and the skin and the muscles and the bone, then you're really integrating with the goddess component of creation. So please take a few moments to do one or the following or something else that you're doing that you like more. You could feel your skin very strongly. You could integrate with your blood. You could feel all your bones very strongly. Or you could think of the whole cosmic creation as a female being, the whole physical plane as a female being, kind of merge with her and dance with her and sing to her and play with her, be her daughter, be her mother, be her companion, whatever you want to do. Just throwing out some ideas for you. And, of course, anything else you want to do, let's just play for a few moments with the goddess. You could also just be focusing on your own body, too, you know, just any part of it, because it's all relatively the goddess. And as we continue this radio show, I would love for you to stay very well anchored in this energy of the goddess. She's all around you, and she's very conscious. She's much more conscious than you are. She's so much more aware than you are. She's the goddess of creation. She runs the whole show. We're not talking about a concept or a theory. She's a living being. She is the universe. This is the physical plane. When you tune into the goddess Ray, you're tuning into a living creature, not a concept, but an actual person, just like you and me. And she's very loving and kind, and she loves to be loved as well. She loves to be nurtured. You know, she's not here to just take care of you and never get anything back. She loves to take care of you, but as your child or as your friend or whatever, it's lovely to give back. So think of her as someone to nurture, not just as someone that nurtures you. Think of the goddess as someone that you can nurture, that you can be friends with, and you can, you know, be her friend and companion while she's trying to deal with a world of people who just ignore her existence and eat her food and take shelter in her body without ever thanking her. You can make up for all that just by loving her and nurturing her. She needs a lot of love and nurturing. You may think of the goddess as a nurturing, loving mother. On this world, she is very much in need of your help. She needs you to nurture her. Because think of what she's dealing with in this world. I mean, you don't really need to think about it too long. You already know. So let's make today a day where we nurture our mother, and she can sit back and relax, and she can feel our love for her. Everything I'm saying is absolutely real, and one day you'll know just how real it is. And if you do already, I'm glad. And if you don't, I'm telling you, it's all absolutely real. The goddess is real, and she's far more real than anything else. I've got proof you exist. There. What other proof do you need? You got here. You have a body. How'd you get it? It's not magic. It's the goddess. So she is very big and powerful, and she's very polite. So she's not just going to say, hey, you know, why are you ignoring me? I think she should, and sometimes she does, but not always in ways that people understand in this world. They should, but they don't. So anyway, she really could use your love and affection. And although she's big, she's not invisible. You are in her body right now. She's so big, you might have missed her, but she's all around you. So please, let this day be for nurturing her. You can be her mother today, whether you're a boy or a girl. And please take that thought with you as you feel in your body and as we continue with our radio show. Today we mother our own mother, the cosmic goddess. And there's no real end to this meditation or this thing that we're doing, because I encourage you to keep doing it during the whole radio show and for long after, being with your body and loving your mother and nurturing her. But I'm done for now, and we can. And I would love to hear Laura speak about whatever Joe wants to ask her. But let's stay with the goddess as we continue forward.
Okay. Well, before I do that, maybe we'll start with Laura and just go around. Laura, did you experience anything when Rama was talking at all?
Yeah, I just really connected to it. Like, yes, she does need lots of love in return. And it's a relationship. And it's not a one-way street. So I definitely connected to it as far as the micro, the macro, everything. Yeah. Yeah.
Great. Alfred?
This was the I'm used to seeing the goddesses up there, and this was kind of the first time that the goddess was transposed as right here and down here as my body, and it was a real reframing, and so it was very new, and it was quite amazing to get into that perspective. So I'm still kind of working with that perspective. It certainly is a way to get light into your body.
Oh, my gosh, I know. I'm feeling it myself. Like, my body feels lighter. I'm as you're talking now, for the back of my neck and up the over my head is still like vibrating. And when I went into that, of course, I'm listening to the words that Rama was saying, and I was connecting with that. And of course, I had chills all over my body, and I could actually feel, I guess, because of the intent and the focus. And also what I was thinking, I was connecting to everybody and everything like I suggested from the beginning. So, yeah, that's, I'm still feeling this. So this is pretty cool. Thank you, Rama.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay. Laura, what does honoring the goddess mean to you?
Well, I mean, it's something that's in all things. There's, you know, honoring particular expressions and manifestations of it in one's life, within, you know, your own relationship to self, in the largest of large pictures, in every cell. Just honoring it and taking good care of it, appreciating the sacredness of this expression, understanding the vulnerability. You know, when we see innocence and we see creatures that are, we're kind of guardians of the earth, we are guardians of the earth. And, you know, the Mother Goddess energy is vulnerable like that. And it's extremely strong. And just to, I mean, I can personalize things a little bit because I've had a lot of communication in my life as far as my path and how on a micro level, you know, I'm carrying a lot of this energy, or I'm a vessel for it, as far as doing the global work, the alchemical work.
Mm-hmm.
And just really, you know, not channeling, but feeling the larger voice, the larger expression, the, you know, the different layers, the multi-dimensions, the emotional body, the soul body, the womb, that patriarchy is, you know, kind of overtaken to the point where it, you know, the regeneration factor and our connection has been sort of stunted through this other force that has kind of led us astray. So, you know, there's a lot of grief the mother would have. We really need to understand the goddess in terms of how we view what it means to be a mother or a father, and taking care of something and nurturing something and pouring your life force into it, and having, you know, a connection that is, you know, your survival depends on it. And her devotion is so powerful, and I can relate to it so well just on a daily level, in my own emotions of how I feel walking on this planet and, you know, just, you know, trying to anchor into this physical reality, and what lights up for me when I do, and my response to things. And, you know, I'm a physical mother of two children, so, you know, I see the similarities of, you know, the love for humanity in each and every soul, even the most evil, of that need to just turn them around or awaken them or have them come home is so profound that, you know, it's overtaking me. Even, you know, when I was a child, I didn't feel like a child. I felt like I was carrying this ancient energy that was concerned, and on a level that most kids wouldn't maybe necessarily think about. I mean, I can't speak for other children, but it was like, you know, kind of getting lifted out into this kind of observing, but yet feeling and yet committing myself to doing whatever it takes. I remember saying to this guy, you know, because I was always communicating with spirit or source, you know, whatever you needs to happen to bring balance to this planet, you know, you can use my body. Like, be careful what you wish for. and that's what happened. And it wasn't like I invoked this, you know, very much so my chart and my makeup is to really, you know, on a 7 Libras and 7 Plutos, you know, I'm balancing, you know, very deeply profound energies on a sacred union level. But then there's this Saturn square that kind of cuts it all in half and almost splits me into two and just sort of shatters it all. And I realized kind of spending my life sort of gathering these parts with a lot of emotional reaction to just wanting the freedom to just love without anything insulting or throwing stones at it or, you know, keeping, you know, this from happening. And so, you know, one can connect with the larger, one can connect with the micro, because we all carry this. This is our divine blueprint. This is something that we've inherited from our primordial parents. And to honor the goddess, I really think, is to strip away the things that are false, the things that we carry as a mask in order to relate, you know, to others based on what they expect or, you know, what society has turned us into, and to just really take the time to really shed all of that and connect with nature and really take a breath as the earth breathes and really match the breath and the frequency and let everything just sort of ground and dissolve and just recognize, you know, the feelings there. There's incredible bliss. There's this incredible euphoria and connection on the sacred union level with, you know, in dimensions way beyond this one. And then one can tune in and just start to really feel into this reality and start to feel the constriction or the sadness or the grief or the longing or the hope, but also the wisdom and the ability to know what to do and to feel that you're safe to be counted upon and trusted. Like, you know, like I say to my kids, I mean, they know that they can trust me. It's sort of a given. So, you know, there's really not much of a struggle here except for the communication and the acknowledgement of mother and child. But it's also, you know, we're embodying mother, daughter, sister, lover. You know, we're embodying all these different types of relationships that we can put different hats on that aren't false masks, but are actually archetypes. So you can really sense, you know, the wholeness of not just mother goddess, but sister, daughter, you know, Gaia body as physical planet. And then, you know, the cosmic mother that just looks down upon us all and wants us so much to just connect with our higher chakra. That's a direct connection rather than, you know, send it to this person to have all the questions answered and, you know, like cord some other individual to receive spiritual information when we really do have a direct connection like we, you know, we do with the mother. So we might have damaged relationships with our own families and mothers. So that's another thing to really, you know, let go of a little bit and realize that galactical umbilical cord is constantly there with us. And we're always, you know, in this nurturing mode and Mother Earth is really taking care of us. And there's profound unconditional love there. But when you're dealing with a particular level that's been altered or messed with through negative technologies and manipulations on the grid line, we're not getting exactly the true expression. And so we can be fooled and we can think Mother Nature is cruel or does this and that. And there's, you know, a lot of misunderstanding. So that's been another painful part of it, the misunderstanding. Or, I mean, I'm focusing on a level of, on an emotional level that's so deep that it's insane to try and balance, you know, all that Pluto, Neptune kind of energies with these higher planes that really do feel, you know, that everything's always exactly where it should be and that we're an organism, we're in oneness, we're in unity consciousness. There is no separation. There is no hierarchy. And so, you know, that's kind of what it's like to be inside the creation. And then to sort of see beyond that even and just recognize the physics of it or the makeup of it is just so similar to our physical bodies that to honor the gods is to really embody the sacred union of those primordial parents, view the physical body as the planet Earth, and to look at consciousness as vast as the cosmos and as high and as holy as the heavens, and that any challenge that we're up against is really, you know, an amazing chance for us to ask, you know, our mother to guide us and to see that it's an unconditional relationship and to not fear and to just really put one's trust and faith into not only the goddess within, but that great protector and guide and mother who will pick us up when we fall down and will always love and forgive and completely live to just honor us and bring us home. And that it's, you know, this incredible, beautiful relationship that is the most immense bond. And to honor that is to just really tune into it and just feel the warmth and let it be like a not just something that the intellect can grasp, but something that your soul can feel from the bottom of your feet to the, you know, highest of chakras, you know, to the foot chakras that go and connect to the depths of this earth. It's just a profound connection. So I think if we take the time every day, the goddess energy will feel a lot being returned to her because she is very depleted on a lot of levels, just giving and giving and giving.
Okay. Alfred.
Wow. Well, what came to mind to me while Laura was speaking was sort of a vision of the goddess. And for me, what came was the universe. And I've been immersed in this mantra for the past week, which is that I live in a safe and abundant universe that gives me everything I want and need. And that's sort of a nurturing view of the universe. It's very sort of goddess-like or nurturing or mother-like. And that was sort of the image that at least was activated in me by what Laura was saying. So then I, what came to me was to look at the universe as the goddess. And the universe being a body, it's a finite body. We live in one of, we as yet don't know how many universes there are in the multiverse. We know that there are hundreds of billions of galaxies in our particular universe and hundreds of billions of solar systems in our particular galaxy. So how many universes there are, we don't know because our science is really at its infancy. And so, but what came to me then is to just look at our universe as the goddess, you know, which is another way to look at physical reality, and to say that I live in a safe and abundant universe that gives me everything I want and need. And that's an affirmation that I've been working with over the past week, because I've been doing kind of an Orpheus trip of descent into the dualistic jungle, not on purpose, but quite by accident, because there's a phenomenon that we can call the 2010 extraterrestrial disclosure wave, which is starting to happen. It's sort of surging right now. And a similar wave happened around this time in late September, October 2009. Well, this one has started now, and just in the past week, there was first an appointment, then a denial of an extraterrestrial person at the UN, and then there was a press conference on Monday by U.S. and U.K. nuclear missile UFO whistleblowers who indicated that extraterrestrials are, or interdimensionals are, have shut down nuclear missile sites as a signal to humanity to back away from using nuclear weapons. And there's a vote coming up in Denver for an extraterrestrial affairs commission. So all of these are starting to happen. And I distributed a link to 71 minutes of the CNN feed of the press conference on Facebook, and the result is that Facebook has banned me from distributing any links at all to all of my groups on Facebook, which are many and are relatively large groups. So it's gotten in a kind of a dualistic place. And so I've been trying to understand what that's all about. And what was really odd is that as Facebook was banning me, I was meeting with a friend of one of the co-founders of Facebook to talk about a concept of mine for that I call Exo University, for a web-based university around exopolitics and exosciences at that very minute yesterday. So this is like this whole synchrony of, you know, events. It's like being immersed in the duality and in the unity. And so my whole thing has been to go back to the unity and say, I live in an abundant universe. I live in an abundant and safe universe that gives me everything I want and need. And then that came back, and that when Laura was speaking, came up for me as the goddess, which is the mother in the family, sort of smooths out the dualities, and it's the universe, I think, that smooths out the dualities. So that's where my whole mind went, and that's where my journey has been the last 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. Before I get to Rama, did you hear you were mentioning the thing that over the past couple of weeks with the 2010 phenomenon with the ET disclosure? Did you hear what the Vatican had put out in the past week or so?
What was that?
It was something in the effect, now don't quote me on this, dude. They put something out that if ETs do exist, and they believe, I think they believe they may exist, that they would, no matter how many tentacles they have, they would be willing to convert them and baptize them if they so choose.
Oh, right, right. And that came up in the same dualistic vein because right on the same time frame that that happened, Reverend Kevin Annette, who's a worldwide, you know, sort of activist, came to me, and I did a radio program with him and issued a worldwide announcement of his forming a tribunal, that's International Tribunal based in London, starting in August of 2011, where they had just served a summons on Joseph Ratzinger, also known as Pope Benedict the 16th, and the Queen of England, Elizabeth II, for child trafficking and child abuse. Kevin has uncovered the genocide of 50,000 Aboriginal children here in Canada and the abduction by Queen Elizabeth II and her husband, Prince Philip, of 10 Aboriginal children on October 5th, 1964, were taken from a residential school in Kamloops, British Columbia, and had not been accounted for. And all these kind of satanic ritual sacrifice connections. And there's a whole international tribunal now being started about that in London. And I broadcast that to the world and issued all that stuff as the Jesuit head of the Vatican Observatory was making this announcement. So it's like the sort of old hierarchies of the Queen and the Pope that are satanically oriented are starting to disintegrate as these newer kind of multidimensionally oriented, intelligences are starting to come out. And so that's been kind of a theme. And in order to make it through that kind of, I call it shadow scudo, which is an Italian sort of painting, simile about light in the middle of the darkness. I've been going back to the mantra, I live in a safe and abundant universe that gives me everything I want and need.
Awesome. Good concept. Okay. Rama.
Okay. Well, first of all, I would like everyone to take a moment to acknowledge what Alfred is doing, because what he's doing is going to free all of you. You know, the disclosure about ETs and their ability to help us if we choose to cooperate with them is the only thing, in my opinion, that will save this world. It is not any amount of publicly known science that will help this world. It is, in fact, the ET population, and there is a dwindling and rapidly being destroyed segment of the population that wants to keep them hidden and wants to keep people in oppression, and the good ETs fight day and night to undo all this, but it takes people like Alfred to bridge the gap between these very different worlds, the world that is commonly known to all of us, the world that we are taking part in, and then the ET presence. So think about what Alfred has to do. He has to live his life just like everyone else, and he has to partake in all this extra work to try to free all of us. So, you know, we might just want to take a moment to acknowledge all what he's going through on your behalf, because it's what's going to free us. I don't see anything else free in this world. So thank you, Alfred, for what you're doing.
Thank you, Alfred.
Wow. Yeah. Well, thank everybody, you know. And let's just all move together. And as this wave proceeds, we're all going to be liberated. I know that that's going to happen fairly soon.
Yeah, and I'm working at the same project that Alfred's doing from a slightly different angle. I'm trying to route out of consciousness itself on this planet any resistance to the self or prime creator or the goddess so that people can finally face the ET. Because the biggest problem with the ET disclosure happening is that people from other worlds are very advanced and very happy and very beautiful, and they are connected to the self or God or prime creator. They're true beings. They are very happy to exist. And when a human being of planet Earth comes face to face with a being from another world, that human being from planet Earth has to face themselves. Just as if you were to suddenly find yourself in front of Jesus, you'd be like, oh, man, I know this guy can see right through me. Am I ready for this? Am I ready to be seen? Can I really stand here in integrity before him and feel well within myself? And that's the same feeling that people from planet Earth feel when they come into contact with the star people, because all the star people are like Jesus and male and female. You know, I picked a male example, but God and goddess examples, the star people are very advanced. And that's the real issue with disclosure, is the human population wants help, but they're still having trouble facing themselves, and that's why they haven't just welcomed the ET presence with open arms. So how can we all facilitate this? Well, this is not a radio show about passive observation of what four of us are talking about. We're all participating together. So please actively participate and really recognize, hey, I need to face myself. I need to love myself. And as I do that, I will help others to do it. And then as others do it, then this planet will be ready to finally receive the help that is wanted and tried so hard to help for such a long time. The ET people are not getting paid to do this. They're doing it because they love and care about you. They've worked so hard on your behalf, just like Alfred is doing and the rest of us are, and many of you are doing who are listening. So think about that. Love yourself, embrace yourself, face yourself, and then the rest of humanity will have an easier time doing it. And if you already do it more. And then, again, this can all end faster. Now, I'm not really ready to talk about my perspective on what the goddess is, because, Joe, I really want to hear from you. I want to hear your perspective on the goddess. I'll go afterward, though, but I want to hear from you first.
All right. Basically, I would say if we're looking at it in the eyes of energy, I think that there is the feminine and the masculine. But what I'd like you to do, because you do such a good job of this, Rama, whenever I'm done here, is to define for the listeners what your definition of the feminine and the masculine is, so that we all have a concept of what we're looking at, where the true goddess is and the masculine is. Because in today's society, we have been influenced by the media, by other people, and you know, some of which is not other people's fault, because it's been a passed down from generation to generation learned event, the way I look at it. And people really need a basis to look and see what the difference is and what the true difference is from where current perception of male-female is in relation to the reality of where it's a higher awareness. What is a true male energy and what is a true female energy? So I'd like you to define that first.
Okay, sure. Yeah, that's a great way to proceed. So I often refer to the true male energy and the goddess. The reason I don't just say God and goddess is because the word God has so many strange connotations with it nowadays. So there's true male energy and there's the true female or the goddess energy. Being physically in a male body or a female body is what I would define as typical masculine and feminine in theory. Just, oh, you're in a male body, you're in a female body. But when I'm talking about true male energy and the true goddess, I'm talking about a person, male or female, who is truly incarnating these levels of consciousness. They're actually beings. There's a true male energy and a true female energy, and because the true female and the true male are in constant sexual union, that is why creation exists. Everything that is produced has a mother and father, and it's the the true male and the true female, or goddess energy. It's the mother and father of all of existence, and these are parts of creation. Just like you have blood and you breathe air, there is God and goddess that literally weave you together, that compose your flesh. Within the atom, the God and goddess are present as energies and levels of consciousness. And when a human being, male or female, chooses to incarnate one of these rays or principles of reality, you become a living embodiment of it, and you take on characteristics of that embodiment. So, for example, I choose to carry both the God and the goddess, the true male and the true female. I'm not just championing one or the other. Some beings might just want to champion the true male energy or the true female energy. You, as a person, can decide, do I really want to be an embodiment of the goddess energy or the true male energy or both? You could also be, what kind of goddess? Do you want to be an incarnation of fire? Do you want to be an incarnation of lion energy? Do you want to be an incarnation of the bunny rabbit, soft, watery energy? Or do you want to be an incarnation of the true male lightning or the sun rays? Or the gentle calmness of the depths of space. You know, there's many different qualities of the God and the goddess energies, and the upper half of your body is associated with the true male, the head region, everything from the indentation in your upper lip upwards. That is all the true male energy. In other words, from the tip of your brain stem upward, that is all true male. Everything from the top of your stomach, everything from the top of your stomach downward is the true female energy. In between, in the lung region and the thyroid, that's the child or the sort of both energy. So there are parts of your body that are more true male and true female. So this is a part of nature. This is not theory. This is not concept. This is the structure of the reality that you live in, the world that you live in. Whether it's known to modern science or not does not matter to me. It's very well known to the universe. It is the universe. So you exist because of the God and the goddess energies, and you can choose what qualities of the God and goddess, one or the other, or both, that you wish to be. It is possible to be in a male body and not be connected to the true male energy. It is possible to be in a female body and not know anything about the goddess, and that is the current state of humanity. They don't know anything about the true male or the true female. The only way you as a person can see examples of the true male energy is to look into the sky. Look at that deep calmness. Tune into the energy of the sun. Think about lightning and sun rays and the depths of the calmness of space. That is what true male energy is. It's very calm, very expansive, and very vast, and helps you think clearly. And it's very, very emotional and very, very friendly. The true female energy of the goddess is in the earth and in the lower body, and it's very loving as well. And it's also very strong and very firm, like the rocks and the stones. And it's very fiery and intense, like the volcano. And it's very loving, like the water. And these are some of the energies of the goddess. So you won't find any understanding of what it means to be true male or true female within the culture. Simply, it does not exist. It's excluded by the very definition of the culture being something other than nature, which seems to be the culture's opinion of itself. To understand true male and female, to understand true male, study the sky. To understand true female or the goddess, study the earth and the rocks and the water. And then you will understand them yourself from the inside out.
Perfect. So basically, the only other thing I'd like to add to what you just said, because that's how I feel, is that what I was started out with is the culture and where we live. And if you look at things in a higher perspective, like the law of attraction, which is energy, and what you put out is what you get back. So what we've been taught or conditioned over the years, and we think that this is male energy, and because thought becomes reality, what we're putting out is a thought of this is true male when it really isn't. So what I'm saying is if you're living in a male body and you're putting out this macho image and this aggression because you feel that that is what males do, thought becomes reality, you put it out there, you attract it back to yourself, and therefore that's what our culture has to deal with right now. So what I think we're doing now is we're moving out of these concepts because the energies that are coming through right now are more feminine and more goddess-like. So I think it's taming down what the male influence or the male mind feels that we should act like, and we're actually transitioning from this aggression that we've been taught to more of a loving species and an accepting species and a tolerant species. And I think that over the next couple of years that this transition is going to come full circle to, we'll be living in more of a goddess era, and the energies are going to be much more peaceful and loving. And, you know, the macho image can go away because it'll be okay. And we're not going to be expected to not cry or be more macho and aggressive. And I mean, when there's a balance of the masculine and feminine, then the dis-ease of the body or the imbalance of the body comes back into balance and things become much more tolerable. So that's kind of how I look at it in a combination of the three-dimensional, which is what you use your five senses for, and at a higher awareness of sixth dimension or above with the energies that we are all actually speaking of. Because at the highest level of energy, that awareness, but yet if it transfixes into the 3D, then things become physical. So energy goes into what we call DNA, and the body is made up of DNA, and there's a close correlation with that energy and also with the organs of the body, more so the glands which produce the hormones. So when we're out of balance, that's why people say their hormones are out of balance, is because that's the closest thing to energy that 3D and maybe 5D, if you will, or the 3D, which is more physical, and the more, how would I say, fifth dimensional, which is more energy. That's the close correlation right there, the glands and the hormones in association with the energies that are flowing. Now, does any of that make sense to you, Dan?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense to me.
Okay. So that's how I look at it. And I don't know if you need to say anything further, Rama, because I think you answered your own question there whenever I had you talk about the male and the female.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, the emphasis for today being the goddess, I would love for everyone to recognize that it's everything from your stomach downward, the stomach organ, the womb or the prostate gland, and also the rectum organ. It's your blood, it's your muscles and your bone, and that is from a perspective of the very nature of how reality is wired together, that is where you find the true goddess energies. That is how you understand her. And then if you want to understand the true male, you can obviously look up in the brain region. But today we're emphasizing the earth and what is below. And it seems perhaps funny, but it's very obvious in my awareness that most of what everyone in this world is looking for is, in fact, the goddess energies. We are looking for survival of the flesh. We are looking for safety. We are looking for security. We are looking for material comfort. We're looking for emotional comfort, which is the orange region, which is the womb or the prostate. And we have issues with government and control and power issues, which is your stomach region. And money is the blood of the world. So this is all in the lower body. Basically, everything that you're looking for, if you're not looking for yourself and your identity, anything that you're looking for in this world, it's all the goddess energy. It's like what is needed most in this world is, in fact, the goddess. What we need to radiate, what we need to become, what we need to integrate with is the goddess. If everyone on this planet merged into the goddess ray, everything on this world would be solved in zero time, because that is the great push right now, as you so very aptly pointed out, very wisely pointed out. We need the restoration of these goddess energies, because then you'll be able to sit in your home and feel safe and not worry about money. You'll be able to exist on your own planet, not have to worry, how am I going to earn my right to continue my existence? You'll be able to go through every day happily, not worried what your neighbor might do to you. When the goddess energies are restored, we are safe, we are cared for, we have what we want, when we want it, no questions asked. And my goal is to have you have what you want before you even ask for it. My goal for this creation and for this world and for every world is that you have what you want, when you want it, no questions asked, before you even ask for it. because the living universe knows what you want and gives it to you before you even think to ask for it. And then by the time you ask for it, you've already got it. That is the kind of physical material freedom that I want for everyone in creation. And we on planet Earth can obviously see the need for it, but we on planet Earth are paving the way for all of creation to have this kind of physical material abundance. So if you have any interest in physical material abundance or emotional comfort or power issues of any kind being resolved, such as the political and governmental scene, what you want and what you need to focus on is the goddess Rey, because she is the provider of all these things, and that means you, as you merge with the goddess, provide these things to yourself.
Okay. All right. Thank you. This goes back to what I initially started with, and I'm just going to ask the question. If the energy at the center of this universe is emitting more feminine energy, how will that affect the planet and the people on it? Alfred, do you want to go with that first?
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure what feminine means, but at least I can speak to, and I'm just getting out my copy of Dr. Kalman's The Purposeful Universe, How Quantum Theory and Mayan Cosmology Explain the Origin and Evolution of Life. What I've spoken of is enlightened unity consciousness. Now, whether that's feminine or masculine, I don't know, because I think it embodies both sides of the yin-yang. And so I'm not quite sure that I would call it either masculine or feminine,
mm-hmm.
as far as that energy. However, may I be permitted to follow up on something that that Rama was just saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Rama, this is sort of in a parallel track to yours, and I have no expertise, and I don't know about the body actually that much. But it seems to me that the heart, the heart and everything that the heart means, in fact, in some of the Vedic traditions, the heart is the seat of the mind, but that the heart brings compassion and love, and that is probably the central single force that is missing in today, the age of the Antichrist, or, this society that the Matrix society, which is atomizing people and taking apart families and taking apart individuals and disempowering people and impoverishing people generally and poisoning them with toxins. It's a heartless society. And the heart it's kind of an upper body organ. So I'm not sure. I think of more of these functions sort like love and compassion as being essential forces. And we know that as we move up from the third and fourth dimensions into the fifth, and this builds on some of our prior discussions, the fifth dimension is one really that is built on the forces of love and light as building forces in it. So I'm a bit, I guess at this point in the discussion, I'm a bit confused because on the one hand, enlightened unity consciousness embodies both sides of the yin-yang, and the God-Goddess principle, you know, is the source. I mean, isn't the source sort of both sides of the yin-yang? So I just want to toss that out, because it seems that we're sort of cutting away at what is a principle that permeates all of reality, including that at the source level.
I have stuff I can say on that.
Please, Laura.
Well, if one looks at source energy, the galactic core, that's really where it begins, is where the relationships of unity, male and female, formed and emanated pairs. And, you know, when I look at nature and I look at cosmos, I see unity, and I see, you know, the masculine and the true masculine and feminine is in partnership with each other. And every cell, you know, and every flower and every aspect of creation, there is this level of connection between the two. And the heart really is a bridge to the upper and lower bodies. And through love and compassion, one can, you know, be anchored in this physical reality while also receiving, you know, the source inspiration that flows through the body, and the kundalini and all the chakras all kind of firing. And so, you know, enlightened unity consciousness is, in a way, you know, sexless. But it's the merging of the two. And when we come into where we're embodying this, it's really, you know, about the scales on Earth coming up into the rays of what these higher worlds, these higher beings resonate on, and what the divine masculine and feminine have always stood for as they have incarnated and have lived out sort of a metaphorical existence of certain conditions that exist in our soul when we're doing, you know, when we're connecting with ourselves, which has to do with duality and how that was created in these lower levels, and the fact that Gaia, in a way, is under attack. And so to return to unity consciousness is to really let that attack be something we take responsibility for, as far as where we're giving our power, what we're allowing ourselves to take on, and where we're being led astray. And so this age of awakening is really where we're drawing the line and creating our boundaries and saying, wait a second, this is what truth is, and these are our cosmic family, and this is, you know, what's been standing in the way. And it's on such a lower level that, you know, I think for all of us, we see this working very simple. I think the hardest part is having patience while everything is coming together. But, you know, source, goddess, God, I see it all always together, but, you know, the fact that the goddess has a lot of attention right now has to do more with this physical realm, and that Gaia has sort of, and the goddess herself, has been exiled or tampered with, and the story's been manipulated and people have been led astray. But when we get back on track, you know, the higher chakras, particularly Ein Sof before the cosmic egg was cracked, you know, this container was created, and this insemination, the seminal spark, and the double helix inside the cosmic egg was formed. And then, boom, crack, here we have what science calls the Big Bang. And then out comes the tree of life and all these worlds and universes. And in this particular place, you know, this other formless being was created and had rulership, refuses to acknowledge the sacred union or the mother goddess. And so I think when people really want to understand the goddess, they have to understand unity. They have to understand that it's about union. And she really represents, you know, the partner of Christ. She represents, you know, the merging of sort of the androgynous being. And, you know, a masculine, what we consider to be maybe stereotypical, egotistical masculine energy, is not in that union, but the divine male is. So the divine male is just as much the goddess as the goddess is. The male that isn't in that frequency, who's in his lower self, is refusing to acknowledge that and is here to kind of run the show. And even some women are embodying the lower male, and they want power, and they want, you know, dominance. And I think when we really do embody the true masculine and feminine, we recognize that we're embodying unity consciousness, and that we're vessels for source energy itself, which is androgynous. And then, you know, the lower chakras is where we start to get the gender differences, whether, you know, it's same sex or, you know, not the same sex. We form relationships based on our preferences that are more of a lower chakra, you know, our emotional body, our sexual chakras, our grounded physical first chakra to the planet. That's where we kind of play out how to, you know, do this balancing act. We want to attract partners that help us grow, that trigger us back into, you know, who we really are, or we want partnerships that reflect the fact that we've already arrived. And so I just see this is the only realm really that has any concept of duality, and it's played out in becoming more gender specific. And when we can start to, you know, really just merge the two by embodying the divine masculine and feminine within, which are in partnership, just like every cell has a masculine, feminine, positive or negative, that's where we, you know, are emanating source, and that's when nirvana, heaven, paradise on earth is restored. And it's not really about the goddess ruling as much as it's about the divine male and the divine feminine honoring that unity, which right now is considered goddess, but really it's about the two of them, the Shiva Shakti, in this, you know, constant creative expression together. And the goddess understands that because the goddess represents wisdom, and that's where there's a tension on her, but really it's not about the goddess, it's about unity consciousness, enlightened unity consciousness. And the goddess represents that. So yes, it is, but I wouldn't say a more feminine frequency is coming forth. I just think that things are coming into balance. Venus and Mars are having this sort of, and it's interesting because metaphorically speaking and very symbolically speaking, being recruited to go to Mars to kind of say goodbye, Gaia, somebody else is going to run this. And you know, these people are still writing me and talking to me as I'm Sophia. They're just, okay, well, it's in your hands. All right, well, it's all in your hands now, Laura. It's you and Jesus' hands now. And it's like, okay, why are they talking to me like this? And, you know, the amount of validation that I've gotten has almost frustrated me, because I just want the world to understand that I have all this crazy proof from about 12 different sources, but at the same time, I'm beyond identity, and it's something on a unified level. I feel we're all of this, and I was just sort of representing it for everybody. I never was just me alone. It was like I was carrying, you know, the unity of us all when I made certain decisions to stay here. It was just like, this is what we all want, this is what we all need, and this is what the mother wants, and it's that. That masculine and feminine. And, you know, this is why I really like working with males, because I really feel like this is where the work of balance can happen. And there's nothing more important to me than balance, because that's what I really think source represents on every level, every cell, every dimension, except for this one that we're doing the construction work of. And it's all very simple, but on the day-to-day when we are in that duality jungle, which I love how you put, you know, it can be extremely difficult. I particularly feel it in my second chakra, first and third, and I just disassociate and just kind of rise above it. But actually get in there and get your hands dirty, you know, that's what going into those levels of the hell regions, not Mother Earth hell, but the hell and the chaos of the duality is caused.
Okay. So right now it's like 9:05, and I want to open up the phone lines here. You have any questions for any of the guests here, give us a call at 718-664-9323. That number again is 718-664-9323. So today is a topic we're talking about, honoring the goddess, and it seems as if we keep coming back to the unity consciousness and the balance of whether we use terms of the goddess or the male, female energies, or, you know, I think there's a so many words that are in the human language that, depending what perspective you come from or what's your religious background or the experiences that you had, where most people are saying a similar thing, but we use just different backgrounds to get the message across. And what's nice is there are different soul growths on this planet at different times, and there are different people from different walks of life. So what Alfred says and what Rama says and what Laura says and maybe even what I say will hit a different person that's out there. And that's why I think it's so important for us to come together. We are saying the same thing, really, but I think different people get it a different way. But the goal is to raise in consciousness, really, and come back to unity consciousness, which implies a balance of energies. So what I'd like to do next is, I guess there's nobody calling yet, but I do see there's somebody on right now from Olympia, Washington. So that looks like, I don't know if that's right below you, Alfred, or if that's where close to you, Laura. It's on the West Coast.
It's up there.
Yeah, that's actually the state capital of Washington. It's a very nice city.
Oh.
I've been there, and it's a nice drive from Vancouver, BC.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what we were talking about earlier, I want to maybe move into that a little bit, because right now, Alfred, you mentioned it a little bit about the CT trend, if you will, of 2010 or the phenomenon thereof. And, you know, the question I have is, are any of you seeing any changes around you in a small or even at a larger sense due to this energy shift that is taking place right now? And I'll start with Rama.
It's funny that you're asking me, because I actually work to facilitate a lot of these planetary shifts, and that's what I do every day, is consult with the angels, base it on my own experience and the experience of other incarnate human beings on this planet, and we try to evaluate what is the best way to adjust the energies of the planet. And just recently, I've been working on a project for a very long time, which was basically a very, very long time ago. Prime Creator, as sort of this pure beingness, came to me and said, I want to be directly manifesting creation without the need of a prophet or an avatar, you know, someone representing me, translation for you, because they tend to mess up or only do the mission partially. Or in any case, I want to be able to be directly in creation anytime I want. And so I've been working for a very long time, as have all of you, and as has everyone who's listening to this radio show. We are a team trying to enable a new creation system to be born, a new way of literally running reality. Planet Earth was sort of the center of this shift, and that's why planet Earth is such an unusual place. We are birthing a new physical atomic structure of reality, but it's not just the physical plane, it's all of existence. Because if you adjust the atomic code, you're adjusting the same code that's present in every dimension and in every living being of any scale, whether it's a sun or a butterfly. Every being shares the same code of life, this cosmic DNA code that is, in fact, literally universal. And we've been trying to develop a new way of running creation. And all of you are listening to these words right now while you exist on planet Earth because you are part of this project. We are doing this together. And I've been working on this project very in-depth with all of you upstairs and also doing it very consciously physically, and we've all been working on this for a very long time. And just a few days ago, Prime Creator has been able to finally begin to really incarnate through every atom of reality, and she is appearing as a cosmic goddess. Prime Creator asked me, well, how should I come? And I said, well, you should definitely be a girl on the physical plane. In the highest dimensions, you would obviously be a boy, but here in the physical plane, you should obviously be a girl, because this physical plane is the most feminine of all dimensions. It's the most goddess-like of all dimensions. Every dimension has its own associated characteristics, whether we're talking about the physical plane, the astral plane, the plane of dreams, planes of light, planes of thought, planes of subtler stuff that we don't have names for. Every dimension has its characteristics, and the physical plane is the most goddess-like feminine dimension. And that is my answer to your question, Alfred, because you're asking, why are we talking so much about the goddess when we should really be talking about love? And I agree, love is what we are, and Prime Creator is pure sexual energy that embodies both male and female together in loving union. The reason the goddess is so important in our discussions is because we're in the most feminine of all dimensions, so she naturally has the most to do with any solution we're trying to create. We're trying to solve something, put something back together. She has to be the answer because it's the physical plane. This dimension is wired proportionally the most feminine of all dimensions, like 99.99% feminine and tiny percent true male. Why? It's just the dimension we live in. If you don't like it, you can go somewhere else. But if you're going to be here, please honor the goddess. So we're here to love and adore the goddess and incarnate her and be her. And the energies that are shifting on the planet right now are actually the culmination of a creation-wide project, which is to bring Prime Creator directly into existence in form without needing to come through a prophetic being like Jesus or you or me or any of us who are listening to each other right now. And that's been accomplished. But in the physical plane, Prime Creator shows up as a girl. In the higher planes, Prime Creator will show up as other things. But in the physical plane, the Mother Goddess is now directly present, and you can talk to her through every atom. Literally, you're talking to the cosmic living universe, physical universe, the whole body of physical creation. And she is a very living and intelligent presence now, and now you can comprehend why this is such a dramatic place. We are birthing a new creation out of the central spinning epicenter of what currently is planet Earth. And planet Earth, therefore, is the place where everything that wants to get in the way of this new creation system has to be resolved. Everything that is a proponent for this new way of being in creation has to come forth and shine, and that's all of you. You're all listening to this, and you're all who you are because you wanted to help make creation more beautiful. So that's why this is such a dramatic place, and that's why your life, no matter who's listening to these words, that's why your life is so important. You're helping this all to occur. And it is, in fact, in many levels, already occurred, and we're very near the end of this very outdated drama on planet Earth. There's no more need for it because Prime Creator is now directly here through every atom, and she does, in fact, show up as a girl. And you can talk to her mentally anytime you want. Turn into the atoms, talk to her as your own body, but she is here. And this shift only happened a couple of days ago, and it's the culmination of work that you and I have been doing for a very long time. So what's with the latest shifts on planet Earth? Well, we are almost done with this project, and it's time for the stage to change. It's time for the set to change, and for all these old issues to be gone. And the way we end it all is by truly loving our bodies, loving our physical world, and loving the goddess, and really integrating with the flesh and material of our own being so that we can use that material to facilitate the bringing in of the new show. In other words, the only way you're going to help this place is by being a physical being. The only way you can help this situation to be fully resolved is to be fully in your physical material flesh. And that, again, is the reason for the emphasis on the goddess. We have to integrate with that which is material and physical in order to bring about a material and physical victory. You cannot have material victory without the goddess. She is matter, physical plane energy. You cannot have victory in this dimension without the goddess. So love her, adore her. Victory is red. Victory is blood. Victory is the goddess. Without her, there is no victory in this world because she is the very matter, the very physical substance that you're wanting and hoping to operate in a new way, such as a new governmental system, such as more abundance in your personal life, such as less illness, more happiness. Whatever your goals are in this dimension, they are all physical and therefore involves the goddess. And our victory is very close now.
Okay. So what I'd like to do is bring together what Laura, Alfred, and Rama all said, and each one of you hit a little bit on this. What I'd like to do is kind of set the stage for a what if, okay? So let's talk about humanity as a whole, the mind, the body, and the spirit, okay? And this change that you're talking about, Rama, and Alfred talked about, and Laura talked about in different ways, but what if this 26,000-year cycle comes around every so often, every 26,000 years, and to be more specific, and what if it's a leap in evolution of man, the mind, body, spirit? So what if that explains the leap of evolution from caveman to current human? There's that missing link that the scientists always talk about, that there's nothing they can find in the fossil records of evolution. The leap was so sudden, so quick, like the snap of a fingers, all of a sudden, here's current human beings. Well, what if this energy that's coming through, and we associate it with the mind, body, spirit, because we're talking about a couple different dimensions here. And depending how your perception is, whether it be 3D, 4D, 5D, or above, what if this leap of evolution is what humanity is going through right now? And instead of us being cavemen or current humans, this next leap in evolution raises our awareness, raises our physical abilities, and the mind. So it's a blending. So it's the mind, body, spirit evolution of man that may be coming around this time around to 26,000 years. So it's a transition. And as Laura talked about, the androgynousness of the male, female, and as Alfred talked about, the ETs that were within the past couple of weeks and UFOs and all that, this 2010 phenomenon, and with what you just talked about, Rama, the energies that are coming through and the work that we've done is almost complete. What if, in addition to this transition, what if because of the awareness we now have in this next leap, we have an awareness that we're not alone and there are ETs around us? So now we have an acceptance of it. So now we can see people that are walking amongst us how they truly are. Like, for instance, what if you see that actually there are ETs walking amongst us, but in a three-dimensional frame of mind, because of fear and doubt, you can't see that because you don't want to see it because of fear. But yet when you take away the fear and you get up into these higher dimensions and you can see things for what they truly are and who they are, just like you said, Rama, about Jesus, could when you were in their presence, you couldn't really lie because they know. And what if we're going to leap into that ability? And if you go back into the biblical terms and the different parables that were in the Bible, if you need to go that route, Jesus said you will do these things and greater things. So why can't it be right now? Why we always look into the future for saying, well, we're not ready for that stuff. Maybe in the future, you know, human beings. But what if that is right here, right now? What if that what we're about to go through is a leap in evolution? And I want to start with Alfred. What if? I'm not saying everything I said was factual, and you don't even have to go with it, but I set the premise for a what if, and I want to know what you feel about that.
Well, I think that your what if is well grounded because we're not only we're at actually the convergence of multiple cycles, one of which is a 270 million year cycle at which new species spontaneously appear and many species spontaneously disappear. And that is what is occurring now. We're in the middle of a great species die off, and the new species are starting to emerge. And what is predicted is that Homo sapiens, as we know it, will be one of the species that dies off, and Homo universalis will be the species that emerges. And the difference between the two can be illustrated, say, by the third wave indigos that are coming in with more activated DNA, with perhaps a more fortified chakra system, perhaps more chakras. And that evolution may occur and could occur spontaneously as a result of, and this is all hypothetical, but there are scientists talking about it, like Colm Kelleher, by transposition bursts as a result of all the gamma ray and other solar activity that will be associated with 2012 to 2013, maybe, if that happens. This is all hypothetical.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there are other cycles. There's a 56 million year cycle tucked in there somewhere. So all of this is quite plausible, and I just love those little illustrations where Homo sapiens kind of dies off, and they have Homo sapiens dressed as a U.S. combat soldier in Iraq. That's kind of what Homo sapiens arrived to be, you know. I guess we are kind of way showers, and we are doing the best we can with our DNA, and we're sort of fodder for the next generations and the next species to spontaneously appear. All of this is what the science of the positive timeline is emerging as, and there are kind of many theoreticians writing in it, and biochemists and geneticists, there's nothing what if about. I mean, there is a big what if, but it's backed up with the fact, I think, that there are many concurrent cycles, larger evolutionary cycles that were part of the 26,000 year cycle.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Laura, what do you think?
Are you talking to me? I'm sorry, a big train is in my ear. I'm going to kind of take it from this angle. And yes, we're evolving, but in a way, I feel like we're rediscovering, or, I mean, I don't want to sound cliche, awakening. I know we say that a lot, but, I mean, our DNA has gone through the ringer, and it's altered, and many of us are carrying a certain soul level or wisdom or intelligence or higher awareness, even born into, you know, bodies that have inherited damaged DNA, and that's not really a barrier as much as we think. A lot of those incarnating that might have be more activated have been here in, you know, past lives or been in dimensions that we've been in. And, you know, one way that I've discovered to understand it is through sound technology, taking voice prints. You can tell, you know, what your level of where you're vibrating at, and it's beyond physical. I mean, sure, the physical is important, but the biggest problem the physical body has is the fact that it's not receiving enough of its nutrients and spirit, because there's a big kind of, like, block and this inability to fully ground and anchor. And so what's happening right now is the goddess has gone through, you know, this alchemical journey. We all have done this collectively. We are kind of alleviating the veils from clouding our abilities and our ability to heal. And we're removing the lid, and we're just kind of ejecting splinters and exposing the truth and busting the lie. And that naturally, all of a sudden, allows our cosmic family to appear in front of us. And what we see walking around has always kind of been there. What we're activating has always been there, but it's been sort of blocked or dormant, put on hold, while this other part of us is busy, you know, working real hard at restoring and regenerating and getting things back to where they should be, while we're still, you know, moving to a new cycle on a whole other level. So I don't see it so much as evolution. I mean, it depends, you know, who you are. But usually in many dimensions, goddess doesn't need to manifest or incarnate because everything's fine. It's very unusual that there's a particular dimension that needs so much involvement and mm-hmm. so much assistance. And so, you know, there's some of us that are that assistance.
Okay,
sure.
That's what I want to ask you, Laura. So what you're saying, and just ask, I just want to throw this in there with what you're saying so you can clarify. Do you feel that there are people on this planet that already have this awareness and this leap in evolution, but they've incarnated into human bodies to help the people that are lower souled human beings to raise in their awareness and their consciousness?
Absolutely. And I have a lot of confirmation on this, you know, particularly going to a clairvoyant institute for 2 years and, you know, understanding how sound technologies work and how the physical body, you know, they said the only reason I was only able to bring a certain percentage in my body is because my flesh would, I wouldn't be able to hold the physical flesh.
Right.
And then I can only, you know, hold a certain percentage of myself in here, even though I exist in that energy that isn't in my body way more than I do any of the, you know what I mean? It's like,
right.
I wouldn't say I'm ungrounded, but it's like my consciousness is not really in my physical body. And they, you know, basically confirmed through many sources, if I brought it all in, I wouldn't even have flesh. It would just burn up. So we have to realize that, like, we are holding physical shells that are about as limited as the matter, you know, based on what we're collectively dealing with. That each of us, some might vibrate, you know, a lot higher, but they usually, like, I had to go into the wilderness for a few years just to heal because I couldn't, there's just no way that I could survive around certain low frequencies. They said that I would die if I didn't have the grounds prepared before I was born because the energy is so low and so not loving.
That's what exactly what I was going to say, because, you know, one of the concepts that I have in my mind is, what if these higher loving beings that don't maybe show themselves because they're higher dimensional beings, they can't either withstand or they don't like the feeling of this low, dense energy that we all live in 3D here, because they vibrated a higher vibrational energy, and to be on this planet this time with the consciousness that's here right now, it's almost detrimental to their being.
Exactly, and I've died a few deaths because it is, I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, put attention on me and I'm just this higher being or whatever, but, you know, this time technologist said that I vibrated the same frequency basically as source, and there's no numbers he's ever witnessed in the thousands and thousands of readings he did, and that my physical body cannot contain this, though my consciousness can. And so, you know, I'm sure there's others. I'm sure you guys have a similar, you know, disposition where it's like, you know, what feels normal isn't actually that normal. It's like, yeah, I wake up, I'm accustomed to not fully being in my body because I've woken up for about 10 to 15, 20 years, you know, unless I was a kid or was able to get the heck away or find a cape.
Right.
But, you know, and I find this for a lot of us, that we are born into a very limited frequency and we do the best we can. It's like,
right,
you know, it's just like every day I have to manage my energy because it's like a daily thing to just handle it because it's so much vaster than this physical body can contain, that all I can do is share the information in hopes that as us and others similar to us are race showers, that we're actually making this place suitable for us to fully come in and anchor ourselves. And until we do that, we're going to have a real hard time because this is not vibrating at a frequency that is really true to who we are, or many of us. And so you find a lot of times very, very high beings are ones that suffer a lot of illness, and ones that are incredible healers that have kind of mastered the ability to, you know, function sort of here and not here, but be healers, are able to, you know, really direct it through your hand chakras and help heal others. But until the vibratory frequency of this planet increases, it doesn't matter, you know, really what kind of beings we are. There's going to be a huge portion of us that, you know, it's like the 2012 shift. I mean, that's when the energy is going to be such that people like us can really just have more of ourselves here, that the planetary light body is more activated because we're lifting the veil, we're busting the lies, we're recognizing that the ETs are amongst us. And when all that happens, they're not empowered by the fact that they've been living, you know, with the power of secrecy. The reason they have power is because they're keeping us in the dark. And that's what keeps our DNA damaged, that keeps us inheriting and coming back. And more evolution has made us less than we are rather than more than we are, which is the way it should be. Instead, we're like, oh, my gosh, you know, we're actually in a healing process. We're not in an evolving process. You know, and the only reason I say this is because I've studied this for a long time using myself as, you know, a way to understand it. Is the amount of higher lifetimes I've had is incredible. And you think,
right,
oh, gosh, we're evolving. Like, I'm more unhealthy in this lifetime than many when I was
right
in another dimension, like in Middle Earth or Avalon or something.
Well, what I wanted to also say, Laura, was this brings back to what Alfred was saying a little bit ago about the food and how I really think that, you know, the powers to be, which we talk about, and I don't want to give them energy, but we have to discuss it so people can bridge the gap and they can understand where we're coming from. I mean, with the poisons that are being put in our food inadvertently, can you imagine that, okay, you can't put your product out on the market and make money on it unless you put this particular ingredient, which we say is better for the body. So next thing you know, it's actually a poison, kind of like coumadin, which a lot of people say is rat poisoning, but we're using it to thin the blood so you don't have a stroke or a heart attack or whatever. So they claim that it's safe, so we have to use it because it's in the law and it's in the discipline. And it keeps humanity from raising an evolution because it keeps the DNA, which is closely associated with the energy of raising in the awareness. And also the feed of it keeps the DNA from evolving. And that's why I think that this evolutionary shift has to happen all at once, like a bam, done, because the powers that be aren't just going to willy-nilly just give up. And what's that?
Yeah, absolutely. They're trying to keep us low because they want the power.
Okay, so that brings me, one thing I want to ask each one of you, and then I'm going to go with Rama on a question, but we mentioned the shift in energy, the raising of this consciousness, and I want to ask you guys personally, if you will, each one of you, just briefly, like maybe 30 seconds, it could even be yes or no, is the veil lifting for you where you're seeing things that maybe you've seen once in a while before, but it's more readily, like you can see things a lot clearer now? And Alfred, I'm going to start with you.
Well, it's like I can see both extremes more clearly now. And I'm seeing much more now of a bifurcation, and that is of two dimensions separating. So a lower dimension and a higher dimension separating, rather than the totality of the lower raising. That's just my personal.
Maybe that's
just a projection for me, but that's what I'm seeing at the moment today.
Awesome. Okay, Rama.
Yeah, I loved what Alfred said. It was not at all what I was planning on saying.
Me neither, but I loved it.
Because it really is true. There are those who are getting better faster and those who are getting worse faster. So there is this divergence occurring and this separation
of
different groups of people at different states of consciousness. So I love what he said.
Yeah.
My answer to your question is yes, more and more every day I'm understanding more and more of reality, and it's infinite and there's always more.
Okay.
And it may sound like a generic answer, but it happens to be the true one.
Okay. Laura? Are you seeing anything more than what you've seen before?
I just want to say I agree with Alfred too. I wrote a paper a long time ago about mitosis, about the planet actually splitting into two, the lower Earth and the higher Earth. And then I heard that concept lately. I think it was from Alfred, and I was just like, right on. do I see things changing? Well, I can only use myself as a gauge.
Right.
I was in a lot of isolation before Facebook, and, I just see that this is an incredible chance for us through the Internet to really raise consciousness together, and I just see that, we're having a huge effect and that, people are I just feel a lot more love and a lot more awareness on these matters, and we're kind of all taking on the world and all these issues together. And, I know there's millions and millions of people on Facebook, but somehow we found, a pod where people want truth and they understand
mm-hmm.
stuff that's going on, and we're all just kind of like, we all know each other, have mutual friends, and it's like we've kind of found our forum as we increase in numbers. And so that's what I've seen change, because 5 years ago I didn't have that. I had like maybe three friends or four friends that I was even keeping up with, and now it's just like, oh my gosh. So for me, that's really changed. It's extremely healing to not be in so much isolation. And I also see things in the news where you can almost clairvoyantly see I just feel it's a lot easier to read really what's going on and what's about to crumble, and just kind of, what's real, what's genuine.
Right.
I wouldn't say that I'm reading better, but I can just see the heart of people and the genuine people more loud and clear, because they're recognizing so much injustice and so many lies from the people that they probably trusted, and that they're kind of standing up against it. And I just see that, those of us of like mind, even in institutions that have been corrupt, are starting to get a clue, and they're going to turn the tables and
right.
back in those particular forums. So
okay.
seeing mass revolution and disclosure, this wave is just doing wonders.
Awesome. Okay, now I want to speak a little bit. Just globally, I see that people are more attracted to me and coming to me, and I'm sitting in an observer's mode now. It's almost like I've worked on my ego and I've worked on the spirituality, and I've been doing the work, and I've raised to this certain awareness where I've become the observer looking at this situation and having an awareness or an epiphany or a consciousness about me where I can see right through things like the truth. So if somebody's lying to me, like right away, it's just like, oh, this is BS. Or in the news, this is BS. And different people are coming to me that are psychic that need that extra bump or that extra little bit of awareness or the seed planted to raise them to the level where they're yearning for this stuff, but there's no one out there to really give them that extra answer, that because they've been experiencing all these things all their life, but they don't have this awareness of this higher consciousness that we're talking about. And personally, that was globally. Personally, I'm going to go out on a limb here. and tell you that because I'm raising this awareness and because I'm doing the work and going within, these veils are lifting to the point where I'm physically, with my third eye, seeing things that, you know, in the past I've seen maybe at the ethereal realm, the ghostly figures and all that kind of stuff. Now I'm physically seeing these energied, I don't know if you want to call them interdimensional beings or fifth dimensional that present themselves as light, but, and yeah, I know this sounds crazy, but I'm telling you, it's not on every day during the day. It's more when you get into a quiet place, especially at nighttime, about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, where all of a sudden you'll be just awakened and you see a figure, and all of a sudden it's this fluorescent pinkish-colored, you know, multicolored being looking at you and communicating, not with words, and you don't physically hear with your, or you don't perceive with the five senses, but it's almost in a state of the sixth sense, if you will, or the third eye. And that's mainly what I was asking, but I don't know if you guys are willing to come out and say.
Oh, okay. So your question is, are we seeing more of the deeper levels of reality now compared to us before? And my answer is yes. The ability of myself to clearly communicate with the angels and also with the animals and the plants, and my ability to communicate with anything from any dimension is increasing because of the planetary energies are rising. It's making it easier. And if you who are listening to Joe talking, if you have not had the experience that Joe has had yet, I highly anticipate that in the near future you will, and you should use his way of responding when you when you're visiting, be like, oh wow, cool, this is neat, I like this.
Because fear is what you attract. If you're in fear when you see these things, the same with the ETs, when the veil is lifted, I think a lot of people are going to leave this planet because of fear, because they didn't work on their issues and all that, and if they don't have this awareness, it's going to be a total shock to their system that, oh my God, they exist. And, you know, with that shock of the DNA and the fright, I think there's going to be a lot of people leaving the planet. But, and I don't want to say that in doom and gloom or anything, because everybody's in their profession right now, but I think that if you look at things and you get out of the fear mode, even the things that are opposing you, because I've had some things develop and present themselves to me that, or I could see the truth in them, that they were of a opposing nature. I don't want to use the word negative, opposing, but because I wasn't fearful, it didn't bother me. I just looked at it and said, oh, hey. Okay, so what are you actually here to do? You're here to show me something about me or help me raise my consciousness. Thank you for coming. And because of that, they can't touch me. It doesn't hurt me in any way because there's no fear involved in the situation anymore. Now, 2 years ago, if I would have saw a witch standing in my, you know, bedroom, for instance, of course I'd be out of that bed freaking probably out the window or something. So I'm just telling you that, you know, as a rational person with credentials and education and everything, I'm going out on a limb by saying this because of what I do for a living, but this is what it is. So you can challenge me with it, but until you bring yourself to the point of going within and allowing yourself to see that there's more to us than what we've been told or taught, you'll see that this DNA that we only use 3% of, or the brain that we're using 10 to 12% of, once you tap in and you gain this higher ability to tap into DNA and restructure it, change it, and the same with using more of your brain, that's where I think where this evolution is going also. So with that all being said, I know we only have like 20 minutes, so I want to get to this next question with Roma. Is we talked about the ETs. We talked about, you know, the sudden change and things, like you said, Roma, the job is almost done. Do you feel that the Vatican now, at this current time in human history, it's always been said that we're unique individual beings, we're special, we're made in the image of God, there's nothing else like us out there in the whole of creation. But now due to technology and science, which I'll get to you, Alfred, for this one, is that the Vatican is now, right now, coming out and saying such a thing is, well, you know, you think they're trying to hang on to that last shred of control by saying, well, we'll baptize them no matter how many tentacles they have if they choose to convert.
No, I'm very used to tuning into different political and governmental entities and gauging their level of receptivity to the kind of stuff that we're talking about and their degree of involvement in facilitating the shift to occur or opposition. And there's many people who are very well-known and famous who are extraordinary proponents of things that would make you very happy in disclosure and the coming of the ETs. And there's many people in very high places who actually have quite very strong opinions about the ETs and really like them. And I can also gauge the energy and vibe of an entire organization. And my personal perception, not belief, but perception of the Vatican is that in recent years, there has been an infiltration of that structure by forces of goodness that are human-born from this planet that really want to have disclosure occur. And there's a significant portion of this entity that you're discussing that actually is in favor of it. And their statement was just their sort of very quote-unquote Christian way of saying, yeah, they're real.
Wow, interesting. Alfred, what do you think?
I sort of made my statement on the Vatican earlier.
Right.
And I think that Rama is also stating something, and that is that the old is crumbling and the new is coming out of it. My historical analysis of the Vatican is that the Pope is the Pope is the morphing of the Roman Emperor. So he's really taken the Roman Empire, and this was in around 345 AD with Constantine, and the Pope then took everything that Constantine had and took it on to himself. And so that's the Pope is really the continuation of the Roman Empire and of the Roman Empire. And the Vatican became a state through a law passed by Benito Mussolini in 1929, which nobody has ever challenged, and is a fascist dictator. So I see that, you know, the positive side of the institution, and there's a huge corrupt side because all the crowned heads that are part of the bloodlines pay obeisance to the Pope in that bloodline system, which is part of the oppression.
Ritualistically-wise, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when the Pope went to visit Queen Elizabeth 2 weeks ago, Queen Elizabeth curtsied in front of the Pope. And you know, they're both Satanists and they both eat babies, and, you know. So I don't say that lightly. I mean, they're people that are preparing a war crimes tribunal where very serious people are going to bring forth evidence to that effect. So whether or not that institution is going to continue, I've known people that have thrown cards on that issue in the last 2 weeks and say, yeah, it's going to continue. So I will go with, sure, there are people that need an intermediary like the Catholic Church. Why not?
Okay. Laura.
Yeah, I totally, I'm glad Alfred said all that because that's, you know, it's, there's a lot of trickery anyway, and I think, you know, their priority right now is dealing with their priests that are, you know, harming children, and I just, you know, it's like all the masks are falling and the truth is really coming out. And I think that most institutions know this, particularly that one. And
right.
The way that they choose to cope with it, I can't say I necessarily trust because they're trying to cover up so much as it is.
Right.
That, you know, there's appealing to the good-natured ones, and then there's appealing to the system that keeps them alive and the entities that they work with to keep their power alive. And it's just something I kind of bypass. I don't see disclosure for myself being thrilled coming from, you know, that particular arena, but it's at least a start to get people's minds, you know, open, but, you know, also knowing how much artificial, false sort of alien and artificial telepathy and the things that Alfred knows about as well, you know, one has to be very careful and discerning about, you know, facts from fiction. And I just would not want people to use that as a source of information, and that there's still a lot that they're embroiled in, that to all of a sudden have a revelation about something
right.
in that system is the wrong place to be looking.
Could this be a rollout of something to come? And like I said, I'm not putting doom or gloom out there, but I just have a question that, you know, you got to question the motives behind something. Now, what's factual that nobody can dispute is the abuse on children that the priests, because it's all over the news. People have been found convicted. I know personally people, doctors that were on the board that told me stories of what actually happened, and they were tried and found guilty. So that part of the Vatican is true. Nobody can dispute that. So if that is true, what else could be true that has been hidden from us, or, you know, a negative thing from the Vatican? And it brings me back to, for some reason, this popped in my head with you, Laura, and I want to know if you know anything about this. And there's a, I don't know if this was a priest or a pope, so if you know anything about it, maybe you can, you know, elaborate, but I think it was Pope Maliki, and he had a prophecy that there was going to be only so many priests, and then the good judge will judge, and it says something about leading their sheep to slaughter. And, you know, whenever I was in the Catholicism, and because I was born and raised, of course I was devout, and I believed only that and nothing else. But now that I'm sitting in this new awareness, at the time I would never, ever think that our good church, the Catholic Church, that's the holiest of vow, and, you know, that particular genre would lead their sheep to slaughter. But now all of a sudden, within the past couple of years, it's like, oh, my gosh, what if the Vatican has everybody buffaloed that's in that and all the other subsidiary religions and is actually what some people may call the Antichrist or whatever? I mean, what if? What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think it's the most corrupt thing going. And I think so much of it is I have family that's – well, actually, my father's a priest, and he's one of the best priests I know. They got an annulment. And he's a very divine person. He's being completely fooled, I feel. He gets to the core of it, and I don't trust anything. It's like they might say something to alleviate all the accusations and things that are going on, but the very source of it is corrupt. So it's like, you know, what Satan wants to do with baptism, it's like, I don't know. And I'm not saying the Pope is, but I'm saying that the system is coming from such a corrupt place that to hear any healing message, you know, from the source of it, to me, it's just not to be trusted. I think, you know, there are aspects of it that are good, that well-intentioned people are involved in it. But,
right.
you know, they need to be led into, who, you know, something that really reflects who they are and get the hell out of that institution as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, awesome. Rama, do you want to speak on it briefly? So, I don't know if you know about that prophecy about Maliki and Pope Maliki with the good judge will judge, and something about the Antichrist or something will lead their sheep to slaughter, and that there's only going to be so many popes, and they gave a number, and I think this particular pope is either supposed to be the last one or the next pope, and then that's it, supposed to be.
Okay, well, no, I'm not familiar with that prophecy, but all mass religion is coming to a close because people don't really like it. We need to all go into our own power source and connect to our own independent unique relationship with Source, and people will not be able to tolerate having this external controlling authority anymore. I just couldn't help but just want to throw this thought out there, though. I have a question. Just coming from someone who really likes to look with my own eyes, why is everybody worshiping Jesus dead on a cross? Why are we not worshiping the living Jesus who 3 days later rose and, you know, got up and was like, hurrah, I conquered death. That's the Jesus I want to see. Yet we're all worshiping this dead body on a cross. I don't understand why. I mean, if you just look at facts, people
right.
go and they sit in front of a dead Jesus. So when Laura said, oh, maybe it's the source of the Antichrist, or somebody said that, I think it's pretty anti-Christ to kill him and then worship him dead on a cross. I would want to talk about him, the fact that he conquered death, resurrected himself, and show him, like, triumphant, you know, coming out of the tomb and, like, you know, and with flame and light around him. I just could never get over that, just the form, the physical form of the way people worship. It's like, it doesn't make any sense to me. I do not want to look at my dead prophet. I want to look at my living prophet.
Right, right. So everybody can sit in the congregation and feel that guilt and pick up on that pain and see that face and
oh,
feel that,
that's it.
That guilt.
That's, yeah,
guilt.
That's true. Well, I lost you, Laura. Go ahead.
Laura, you kind of faded out. Can you maybe adjust your mic?
How's this?
You still sound far away all of a sudden.
Yeah, I can't hear you.
How about
I can hear her, but she sounds very far away.
What about this?
Okay.
Just maybe speak extra loud, please.
Okay, I was just going to say.
There you are.
It is for the guilt factor. I mean, when you think about it, that's how they thrive and have their power. I did go to one place, though. It was about, spirit of man. It was, and Jesus, instead of being on the cross, he pulled me a glass of wine with his arms out, and he was, had a sparkle in his eye. I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah, isn't that cool? So you heard her, Joe?
Yeah, but the one thing I want to add to all this is somebody was just telling me about this the other day, the belief that, of course, Christ died for our sins, and of course, that's a guilt. That it's imposed upon all the believers of Christianity, and with this new awareness, I don't know what to believe in all that anymore. I think we're all co-creators. We're all godlike beings. We all manifest here to do a particular thing. It's preordained. It's predestined. It's something we throw out ourselves. So Christ knew what he was doing before he even came here, just like all of us do. He had the awareness of what he was doing. Now, whether that seems like it's a limiting religious thought to me that one person died on a cross for all our sins. I really don't even think there is such a thing as
sin. No, they rewrote the whole story, and the priests need to go into confessional for the BS that they're pulling. And so it's completely skewed because there's crimes against humans that are put in churches made to look like the sinners when in actual fact they're being sinned against from these kind of institutions. So
I think it's all controlling now that we're all on the same board here and discussing all this kind of stuff. And I know, like, Rami, you spoke of it, Laura, what you spoke of, but Alfred, from a religious point of view, what do you think of all this? I know you're more scientific. You come correct with all that kind of stuff. But
No. My uncle was the deputy black pope. He was the second command of the Jesuits during Vatican II. So I've seen the inside of the Vatican.
Okay.
My whole family and my parents' wall was filled with papal blessings. So
okay.
I incarnated into this weird life, where I've seen every part of human society. It's like this huge novel, like this French novel. I'm here looking at the 267th Pope on the Wikipedia entry of Prophecy of the Popes, Benedict XVI is Glory of the Olive under Malachi.
Yep.
I think Laura has expressed it. The quote Catholic Church was what the Roman Empire made of Jesus's mission. So it's like a perversion.
Right.
And however that perversion plays itself out, whether it goes to part of the bifurcation and goes on for a long time in that side of the bifurcation,
yeah.
I don't know. However they want to play it, I know that 3 weeks ago the Italian government has now frozen the Vatican Bank for money laundering, so they're probably part of the God circuit, which is gold, oil, and drugs, where all the drug money is laundered that keeps the international war crimes racketeering organizations' wars going. So this is what they call the Whore of Babylon in the Book of Revelation. So let's kind of get a sense of it. And if you want to transform the Vatican, good luck. and however much longer it's going to happen, well, it's it, 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 it you know, the managed news empires are going to string it out because it sells papers, and as long as they can mesmerize 500 million people, you know, they'll just keep it going. I mean, it's this huge elephant out there, and maybe it's come to this. Well, it's like Burning Man. We'll have this huge monster burning in public view for a long time, so everybody gets it.
Right.
And, you know, welcome to it. Welcome to the bonfire of the vanities.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, we have about 4 minutes left, so I'm going to ask each one of you guys to take about 30 seconds, and if there's anything you'd like to leave our listeners with to bring us all back to what we started with, which is honoring the goddess. This was an awesome talk. I mean, we hit on about everything that anybody could probably want to talk about, from the holy, from the religious aspect to the mind, the body, the spirit, and back to the honoring of the goddess. And it all interrelates. There's so many variables that you have to touch on to bring a person to a different awareness. And this was a really fun teleconference. I really enjoyed it. So, Rama, I'm going to start with you. Anything you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Okay. Well, I encourage you to think of everything that was talked about today and realize that everything that we talked about has something to do with physical matter. There's physical institutions that need to change, which is where we just talked about. There's the idea of pollutants in our food and the control of, Joe was talking about, you have to put this additive in this product or you can't sell it. That's physical abuse. That's physical material abuse of the human body. Everything we've been talking about today, the coming of the ETs, these are physical people from another physical world coming to help our physical world in its very physical predicament. We're talking about physical matter, and the whole discussion from the sort of general concepts of physical matter and how it's made up to modern times on planet Earth and where we're headed, and it all has to do with physical rearrangement, material rearrangement.
Thank you, Rama. I have like a minute left. I'm sorry, looking at the wrong clock. Alfred, 10 seconds. Do you have anything to say?
Yeah. Connection to source of enlightened unity consciousness.
All right, I lied, 90 seconds. Laura, I'm believing it was you because you're the goddess tonight, okay? And happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you. Turn to nature to connect with source. Turn to yourself. Turn to your higher awareness and your wisdom. And don't all look to the external, the church, the institutions, the government, and enlighten yourself and let those ripple out and change the world. And do the internal to the outward instead of the external into the inward.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Okay, I want to thank you all for being on the show. Of course, we'll be back to do another two-hour discussion. To all my guests, please hang on for a second. Our next guest is Laura Eisenhower. She will be discussing Alternative for a Positive Human Future, Archons, Lower Alien Races, and the Negative Agendas this Friday, which is in only a couple of days, October 1st, from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. Thank you all for tuning into our show. If you like the show, dislike the show, any other questions or suggestions for content future shows, email me at universaltalking@gmail.com. Or if you missed the show and would like to listen to the content or would like to refer a friend, simply log on to my website at www.universaltalk.info. And this is Joe Mara signing off for Universal Talk.